Well, thank you very much again for the privilege of being asked to share with you in a word in the Gospel. I'd like to say again, and we're going to say it gladly, that God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And that whosoever, that great, lovely, all-inclusive word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. We'll get down to a few scriptures tonight. The first one is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Chapter 12, I should say. And verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, that is to the Lord Jesus, Master, speak to my brother and divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room whereby to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And when thou, and whose shall these things be, which thou hast provided? Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hung hailed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it, verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. Finally, Acts Gospel, chapter 16. Acts Gospel, and chapter 16. We just break into this story, there's more if you'd see that. Verse 25, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God, and the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, in life, and day to day we'll ask many questions. And here is, we would consider one of the greatest questions. What must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We trust that God will bless the reading of God's precious word. The reason that these thoughts came to my mind tonight was looking at one of the headlines in the paper this week, kind of caught my eye. And Abraham was saved by a blink. The story told about a man who was lying in a coma, and they were about to, he had said earlier that he didn't want to live if he was going to be helpless and hopeless lying in a vegetative state, in a helpless state, in a bed. So anyway, they were discussing this, and they were about to switch off the life support machine, and it said that he blinked twice, indicating that he wanted to live. Saved by a blink, saved by a look. We read in Luke's Gospel, a man that looked at the wrong things. The man that looked only and after things. He was a do-it-yourself man. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't just tell a parable for, I know the Bible says that a parable, as the Thumptons used to say, a parable is an earthly story with a hidden meaning. But you know, there was two brothers who had asked them to speak, Lord, speak to my brother that I may share the inheritance with us. And the Lord says, who make it you a judge? Lord, the Lord Jesus, God in heaven, hasn't promised riches, but He's promised those who trust in Him salvation. He's promised them peace in their heart. He's promised them daily help and daily strength. He's promised them a place in paradise. So this man, he was a do-it-yourself man. Think of the personal pronouns and the possessive pronouns. He's building his gardens. And no way he realized that all these possessions, you know, the sun, God makes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. He's building his gardens and he's providing for the present. You know, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He was looking in the wrong place. He was trying to looking on the present instead of looking to the future. He was living for the day. You know, the Bible says, what is your life? It appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. He's building his barns, his crops. Think of it, I will eat, drink, and be merry. You know, there was someone came to speak in a meeting once a long, long time ago. I remember our late brother Jim Rowe saying, as he came into the hall, this brother says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. He had no plans of eternity. And he ended up, you know, he was not the labours of their hands can fulfil the Lord's demands. And here he was, a man that says, tonight thy soul shall be required of you. He was a man, the ground of a certain man. He was an arable farm. And he's labouring in the soil. You know, in Genesis, God says, cursed be the ground. Because of sin, the ground was cursed. And he was labouring in the seams of a cursed world. And he ended up, this night, thy soul shall be required of you. With him to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. And one of the malefactors which were harmed veiled him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But another answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art of the same condemnation? He was a man. He was a man with no thoughts of God, no thoughts of eternal salvation. A do-it-yourself man. Here was one who had everything. He was a man, we thought of a man who had everything, and he ended up with nothing. But thinking about these two thieves, it says one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. What a lovely thought. Jesus in the midst. You know, he was with the disciples. He was with the disciples amongst the storms of life. He was amidst two sisters at the graveside. I am the resurrection and the life. He was amidst two trophies of grace in John chapter 12. Lazarus, if we're in Simon the leper's house, Lazarus, who had been dead, had been raised from the dead. He was amidst two trophies of grace. Here, the spotless, holy Son of God was between two sinners. What that we sometimes sin amidst us, our beloved stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to his wounded feet and side, blessed emblem of the crucified. Two thieves who in life had sought possessions. Two men who had thought of stealing, of taking what wasn't their due. Brought near. What an opportunity. And tonight, we'll claim the promise. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. One on either side, and Jesus in the midst. One looked. Remember, we're talking about these glimpses, these that saved by a blink. You know, the two of them first, when they looked, they both condemned the Lord Jesus. But you know, this other youth, I was there if they had a second look. You know, like the God of a second chance. Remember Jonah, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again. Perhaps folk here have heard the gospel before and never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. God in his mercy comes out and says, and it's the same word, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This man, we are in here justly. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are here justly. But this man, the man Christ Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Remember the man who was blind? A man that is called Jesus, anointing mine eyes. Oh, condescension, wonderful, wondrous love, surpassing thought, that Christ, the mighty counselor, from heaven to earth, salvation God. Great is the mystery, 1 Timothy 3:6, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. Think of his going through the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. this man has done nothing amiss, fear here justly. You know, last words in life are important. Last thoughts in life are important. Last moments in life are important. Last choices in life are important. Future destinations in life are important. Hear the words. This is before that we're going into the darkness. Looking at the Lord Jesus, this man has done nothing amiss. He was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners. He did no sin, he knew no sin, neither was guile found in his lips. Sinless, spotless. You know the sacrifice, you know, in times past in the Old Testament, you know, the animal had to be selected. The very best of the flock, without spot and without blemish. And then again, it had to be scrutinized. It was as if this thief on the cross was scrutinizing the Lord Jesus. He was looking. It wasn't just a blink, he was looking. Remember John looking on the Lord Jesus as he walked to say, "Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world." He saw the Lord Jesus as a sin bearer. This man, last moments in us, think of the words, "Lord, Lord, remember me." Lord. He confessed the Lord Jesus as Lord of his life. You know, sometimes the old speakers used to say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord of all. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, you know, he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet, the soldiers in mockery placed a crown of thorns upon his lovely head, and crowned with thorns upon the tree, silent in his agony. Thorns that spoke of the curse, thorns that spoke of man's sin. Think of that in Song of Solomon. Think of Song of Solomon, I'm not sure. The lily among the thorns. Think of the Lord Jesus, the lily of the valley. How he came to this valley of need, this valley of sin. Think of the fragrance of his life as he moved through this scene of time. Think of the lily, how approachable it was, how touchable it was, how fragrant it was. And then think of the thorns. Think of the thorns that speak of man's sin, the thorns that spoke of a barrier, the thorns that would speak of heart. Found the thorns upon the tree, silent in his agony. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today, the thought of that man, tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. Think of this man going into eternity, knowing that his sins were forgiven, knowing where his eternal destination would be. Looked in his misery, he looked at majesty. In his death, he saw life in the Lord Jesus. In his death, he saw a future in paradise. And then it says the darkness. And about the sixth hour there was darkness over the earth. and tow an anchor. The Lord Jesus, the light of the world, went into the darkness of Calvary, went a little further for the suffering of this. Finally, in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God, and the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of the sleep, seeing the prison doors open, and drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been played. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." At midnight. You know, Paul. Paul would never have met this man at midnight in a Philippian jail if he'd never encountered the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road at midday. Paul, breathing out threats, and the Lord spoke to him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And how he asked, Lord, what was the harm today? Paul was saved on a road. Saved that he might one day end up in this Philippian jail. No. So earlier in the chapter, the doors were shut to Paul. Paul would and Silas had made to go to Asia, and it says they were forbidden of the Lord. It starts with a closed door, and that's when the gospel and its wondrous love and mercy and overwhelming power came to Europe, came to this land. And then, at the riverbank, you know, Lydia, her heart was open. And then she was obedient, she was baptized. And then her purse was opened, you know, she asked them into her house. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, an earthquake. No, 1 Kings chapter 19, and Paul was at Horeb. It says, the Lord, there was an earthquake there. It says that the Lord Jesus was not in the earthquake. To hear the Lord Jesus was in this earthquake, that this man might be brought under conviction. Think of Paul and Silas. You know, Paul once says, the things that have befallen unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. And the foundations of the prisons were opened. You know, sometimes doors are open by earthquakes. Sometimes the Lord Jesus would stand at the heart's door. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open it, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me." Think of Paul and Silas in the inner prison. Think of it. No, what was the use to sing with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed in some cases. Think of the witness. God has not promised skies of a blue, flowers strewn pathways all our life through, but God has promised strength for the day, hope for tomorrow. And it said the prisoners were listening, but you know the God of heaven was listening. And the doors were opened, the doors were opened. In the darkness, Paul, moved by the Spirit of God, said to the jailer, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." This man was going to take his life, thinking that the prisoners had all fled, but Paul assured him they were all there. I said he came with a light, a natural light, but you know, Paul gave him spiritual light. What must I do? What must I do to be saved? I wasn't going to church. I wasn't trying to be good. I wasn't paying money into charities. It was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have a personal promise, everlasting salvation. And then, it says, the Bible says, by thy works thou shalt know him. He was a man, a cruel man, who had put Paul and Silas in an innermost prison, and their hands bowed. And you know, maybe their hands and feet were bowed, but their hearts were open. He has put a new song in my heart. Paul could almost say, even, praise to my God. And then it says that his house was saved. Individually, you've seen the difference. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And they washed their wounds, and it says they were, the thought of Lydia, obedient, they were baptized. Think of that headline in the paper, saved by a blank. Was it the sentence saying, "Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, a love that brought me from above, to die on Calvary, and make me understand it. Help me to take it when, what it meant to be the Holy One, to bear away our sin. All our salvation costs, all our redemption costs." Think of it. In the glory of heaven, out of the ivory palaces, into this world of war, only his great redeeming love made my Saviour go. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night, to plains of light. Oh, praise the Lord, he lifted me. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His hand is stretched out still, stretched out among the storms of life, stretched out in our loneliness, stretched out in our sadness, stretched out in our weakness, stretched out to the sinner in their need. the eternal God, the eternal God, is a wretched. And underneath, we can't speak any lower, underneath, are his everlasting, ever, never failing, strengthening, loving, and I trust that God will bless the reading of his work in it. We just have a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that was ever in thy mind and will to send thy lovely Son. God has devised a means whereby his people are not banished from him forever. Our God and Father, we thank thee what it meant. Our God and Father, from the palace to this dusty valley of sin. And our God and Father, the family where it led them to. Our God and Father, then came forth Jesus, bearing his cross. He his own self, bear our sins, his own body to the tree. Our God and Father, we sometimes think how helpless and hopeless we sinners have been if he never had loved us to cleanse from our sin. Our God and Father, we thank thee too for this eternal heavenly prospect, our God and Father, that we shall see the Lord Jesus as he is, and to fall at his feet, these lovely feet, these patient feet, these persistent feet, these dear feet, and this story repeat, and the lover of sinners adore. We give thee our thanks again for the one indeed who came, for the one who rose from the grave, the one indeed who sits at thy right hand, a prince and a savior, and the one who promised, if I go, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there I may go. Oh, for the no more parting within the land of love, the endless joy of being in that sweet resting place. So God and Father, just thank me, whatever the gospel is preached tonight, that it may be signs following the preaching of thy word. And God and Father, we just thank thee again for the privilege of being here and already of these opportunities afforded unto us in these days in which we live. Our God and Father, in thy mercy and thy eternal plans, may he continue in thy grace and in thy love. We thank thee again for everyone gathered here. Just our God and Father, draw near to each and every one of us. We thank thee again for the key in the road to Emmaus as they walked and were sad. Jesus himself. Jesus himself, a great person, went with them, a great friend. And our God and Father, we thank thee again for the name, the friend. He is going to be a guest to the man who is a sinner. Our God and Father, we thank thee and bless thee again for the privilege and believe ourselves in thy eternal love and in thy eternal care. And save us for life and save thee. Amen. Well, the sing of few verses of 757. Just perhaps the first and the... Oh, we'll just sing it all, I think. Just remain seated. 757. After the earthly shadows are lifted, and over the hilltops, morning I see, sweet as a prospect, I shall behold him, Jesus the Saviour. Of sinners like me, helpless he found me, lifted me to him, whispered of pardon abundant and free, breathed he his peace o'er my sin-stricken spirit, pointed my vision to Calvary's tree. 757, please.